Be seated, and if you can, open your Bibles up this morning to the Old Testament. We'll be in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, we encourage you to use one. We provide them for you under the seats. Feel free to grab one and open to Nehemiah, chapter 12. In case you do not know who I am, my name is Pastor Rich. I'm one of the assistant pastors here at Crossroads. My family and I have been attending Crossroads, believe it or not, for almost 24 years. So it's been a long time. Time flies when you're having fun. But I'm excited about the opportunity to preach to you the Word of God. And you probably have noticed that we are nearing the end of a building project, and we've seen things progress slowly, but they are progressing. And many of you have contributed greatly and financially to the building of that Connection Center, and you have been waiting patiently, or maybe not so patiently, for that project to be completed so we can see the finished product. I know I want to see what it looks like when it's done. Here in the book of Nehemiah, we see that they also were near the end of a building project. They were a little bit weary. They were a little bit worried about it getting done. But then the Word of God, the Bible, was read to them and ministered to their hearts. God's Word touched their hearts. And the man that was heading up the building project, his name is Nehemiah. Nehemiah, along with Ezra the priest, they told the people, they said, take your weariness, take your worries, and turn them into joy, seeing what the Lord has already accomplished, and be thankful. So here in the book of Nehemiah, they are preparing to have a dedication. They are preparing to dedicate their building project to the Lord. And they're ready to have a party and celebrate. If you look with me at Nehemiah chapter 12, verse number 27, the Bible says this: and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps. So here in this chapter, along with some other chapters, we see that they are planning on having music. They're planning on having prayer. They're planning on having preaching. They're probably going to have some food because we like to eat. And the Bible says that there's much gladness. There's much thanksgiving that's going on. They're giving thanks to God. We read verse 27, but all throughout this chapter, in verse 24, verse 31, verse 38, there's more mentioning of people giving thanks unto God. And then if you look with me at verse number 40, verse 40, the Bible says, so stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I, Nehemiah, and half of the rulers with me. And after that, we start reading about how the people start singing praises unto God. If you look with me at verse 42, it lists the names of those that are singing and names that I'm not going to attempt to pronounce. But then about halfway through that verse, in verse 42, it says this at the end. It says, and the singers sang loud with Jezrahiah, their overseer, their song leader, verse 43. And it says, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. For who? God had made them rejoice with what kind of a joy? Great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. There was thankfulness, there was praising, there was singing, there was rejoicing. The men were participating, the women were participating, the children, everybody was participating. And it says that they were singing so loud that the people heard them even outside of the city of Jerusalem. Now, in my case, that wouldn't be too good regarding the singing. How many of you are familiar with a restaurant in Port Orange called Aunt Catfish on the river? Right. You know, we went there just a few weeks ago for dinner, and there was a long wait. So while we were waiting, we walked out on the dock, and they had a bunch of the boats that were tied up. So we're just looking at the boats. And as we're walking the dock, there was this one boat, and the name of that boat was Clementine. And immediately that brought a song to my head. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling. I bet you thought you'd never sing that song in church. But I start singing that song, and my 12-year-old son Elijah taps me on the shoulder and he says, "Dad, stop singing." And of course, when your 12-year-old son does that to you, you know, it just provokes you to want to sing louder, you know, because he would do the same thing to you. And so I start singing even louder, and as I'm singing louder, people one by one start leaving the dock. And then Elijah looks at me and says, "Dad, I told you to stop singing." Hey, I might not sound too good when I sing, but singing out loud is meant to be a joyful experience, like we just read in that chapter. The Bible encourages us to make a joyful
noise.
Right. And that's what I was doing, making a noise. But it was joyful. But the people in this chapter, like I said, that's what they were doing. They were celebrating. And with the help of God, Nehemiah, along with those mentioned here, they accomplished something amazing. They took a city that was destroyed, where the walls around that city that were used for fortification had been destroyed and were knocked down for a period of 150 years. And that city was made to be very vulnerable. And Nehemiah took a group of people, and they put those walls back up in 52 days. That was a reason for celebration. And when Nehemiah did it, the people knew that it wasn't just Nehemiah. It wasn't just Nehemiah and them. The people knew that it was God that accomplished this through them. The Bible says that, and it recognizes it, and even Nehemiah recognizes it. He says, "The Lord was our strength." In this passage, I see two things that I want to focus on this morning. I see sacrifice, and I see celebration. In order to get that wall rebuilt in 52 days, you better believe that there was some sacrifice. People gave of their money. People gave of their time. People gave of their talents. People gave of their tools. People gave of their minds. People gave of their bodies. People gave of themselves in order to get it done. And when you've sacrificed so much, when you sacrifice so much for something and you finally complete the project, aren't you relieved? But at the same time of being relieved, you're also happy. You're happy. The people in this passage, they worked hard for what they had. They gave of themselves, and now they are preparing to celebrate. Look with me in Nehemiah chapter 8 to see what they did in preparation for celebration. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible says this, 8:1. It says, "And how many of the people?" It says, "All the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses," the Bible, "which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest, he brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the 7th month. Verse 3 says, "And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate. He read from morning until midday before again the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were..." I wanted to do that just to make sure you were attentive. "...to the book of the law." Verse 4 says, "And Ezra the scribe, he stood on a pulpit of wood," something like this that I'm standing on this morning. "He stood on this pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood a bunch of Jewish men." Verse 5. And it says, "And Ezra, he opened the book in the sight of" how many people? All the people. "For he was above the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra, he blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered." And what did they say?
Amen.
Amen. "With the lifting of their hands, with their heads bowed, they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." They're building a stage for the celebration. And they built this pulpit, is what they call it in the King James Version. They built this platform of wood. And Ezra's standing on it. There's six men that are standing to his right. There's seven men that are standing to his left. And the building construction is still going on. But it was time to pause and reflect. And sometimes it's good to hit the pause button in our life. Because sometimes if your life is like mine, our lives are just go, 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 go. We move from one thing to the next thing, and sometimes we forget about what God has done already. Your notes say it's good to pause and reflect and recognize what God has done in your life, like they did here, to reverence Him, to thank Him, to bless Him, to worship Him. We have what we have because of Him. We are who we are because of Him. If we were to push the pause button even in our life, you know, we could still remember where we are and where we should be. Here in the passage, the Jews, they must have been thrilled. They probably were thinking back to where they were. Man, they were in slavery in Babylon. That was their past. And then they're thinking about, hey, you know where I'm at now? I'm back home in Jerusalem. We're rebuilding our city. We're rebuilding our temple, our walls, our homes. And they're probably looking forward to the future, where they would be in the physical presence of God. And again, sometimes we've got to hit the pause and reflect button in our life and remember where we used to be, our past. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not where I used to be. And then we move to the present. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, man, we can realize that we have a place today, a position today where we are in Christ, where our sins have been forgiven. And then we can look forward to the future, in which the Bible said God has promised us a home in the heavenlies. God has promised us a place in which there is no more sorrow. There's no more pain. There's no more sickness. There's no more death. A place that we can look forward to in our lives and be thankful to Jesus Christ for. Here in the Bible, the Israelites, they were grateful. They were thankful and they were celebrating. And by the way, it's okay to celebrate in stages in your life. It's okay to celebrate in different times in your life. God did it Himself. All the way back in the very beginning in creation in Genesis, we see where God celebrated after each day. Remember at the end of the first day after God had finished His creation, the Bible says God saw it and said it was good. After the second day, the Bible says God saw it and it was good. Third day, it was. Fourth day, it was. Fifth day, it was. And then after the sixth day, after the sixth day, when God's building project was completed, the Bible says this. The Bible says God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Just like God did in Genesis, we can celebrate the small victories in our life as well as the finished product. If we do that, that'll create a pattern of thankfulness, of joy, of praise in our lives. Man, I'm thankful just for the little things. You know, my wife Kathy sometimes makes fun of me. She sometimes makes fun of me when I am thankful for the little things, like when I get a good parking spot at Walmart. You know, I pull in the parking lot. You don't know where you're going to park at Walmart, but I pull in there and I find a spot about two or three spots from the front. I pull in and the first thing I say, they'll back me up on this. I say, thank you, Jesus. And they look at me and they're like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm thankful for even the little things. Man, in this chapter in the book of Nehemiah, we see that there's still work to be done in the city. Remember, the Babylonians, they had destroyed the city of Jerusalem. That's a historical fact. And Nehemiah and the people are still celebrating the victories that they've seen from God up to this point. And they're looking forward towards the goal. And it's good. Ezra and Nehemiah are basically saying this to the people. They're saying, hey, we are making progress And it's good. What was accomplished was not accomplished in one day. It took some small steps. Even in our spiritual lives, in our Christian walk, hey, you're not going to become spiritual Superman or Superwoman in one day. It's going to take some small steps. The devil probably hates it when you take steps of spiritual growth in your life, because when you start taking those spiritual steps of growth in your Christian walk, maybe the devil thinks, hey, if he or she takes that step, and maybe they start reading their Bible, maybe they might take another step, and maybe they might start praying, and maybe they might take another step, and they might start believing the Bible is true, and they might start believing Jesus' words. They might start believing the Apostle Paul's writings. They might believe where Jesus said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Maybe if they take another step, they might believe the Apostle Paul where he says, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Yeah, you might just read your Bible occasionally. Maybe you just read it on Sunday morning when you're at church. I don't know. But when you get to the point where you are reading at least a verse a day, look out. When you're up to 5 verses a day, look out. A chapter a day, look out. Man, it's so easy. We have no excuse today not to get into our Bibles. They've made it so easy for us. They even make these apps that you put on your phone where a verse a day pops up. How many of you look at your phone at least once a day? Yeah. You can have a verse pop up once a day. You know, maybe you come to church, but maybe you're not a regular. Maybe you come like once or twice a month. But if you make a commitment to be at church every Sunday, unless you're out of town or you're at work or you're sick, look out. Hey, like I said, Kathy and I, we've been coming here for almost 24 years, but I haven't been a pastor here 24 years. It's been somewhere around 18 years or so. So there was a few years that I was just a regular person like you. And during those years, we made a commitment that we, if the doors were open to the church and there was service, guess where we were going to be? We were going to be at church. If there was a life group, we were going to be in a life group. You know, when you make a commitment to start taking steps of growth in your life like that, look out. I don't know about your prayer life. Man, I don't know about your prayer life, but, you know, later today or tomorrow, maybe a homework assignment for you is to read Nehemiah chapter number 9. Verse 6, read Ezra's passionate and his personal prayer to God. It'll move your heart to see how he prays to God about who God is, who we are, how we've come up short, and how God is still there for us. Prayer is powerful. That's your direct line to God. God has a relationship with us if you're a believer in Jesus. And what kind of a relationship is it if you don't even talk to him? Man, if I didn't talk to my wife, what kind of a relationship would that be? God wants us to talk to him. Take about a minute a day to pray. You know, I've had this message prepared for a while, but I was flipping through Facebook yesterday. You guys have heard of Facebook, right? Yeah. I was flipping through Facebook yesterday, and I saw this post that someone had. And as I scrolled down to this post, it said, stop scrolling and take a minute to pray. And then a countdown clock started counting down. I was like, man, that's so good. And guess what I did? Don't say I kept strolling. No. Hey, these are steps that we can take to build us up. Not build a wall, not build a building, to build us up. And don't forget to celebrate the victories along the way. Don't forget to celebrate where you were, how far you've come, and where you can be. And we celebrate other small accomplishments in our life, don't we? Man, when we go on a diet and we lose 5 pounds, we celebrate that, and we go and have an ice cream. and we put that weight back on. If you have children and your son or daughter, they get a D or an F on their test, uh-oh, look out. But then they start working harder, they start studying, they start doing their homework, and by the time that progress or that midterm report comes out, they've brought their grade up now to a B or an A, and you celebrate that. If you have a kid that plays sports, man, when they get that base hit, phew, when they kick that soccer goal, when they shoot that basketball and they make a basket, what do? We celebrate. Man, we celebrate in all those things, but just imagine what your life would be like if you celebrated the spiritual steps and spiritual victories in our life. One of my favorite ones is this, is when your wife comes up to you and she tells you how much money she saved because she bought something on clearance. Victory! Especially when it's at Michael's. A celebration. But then what does she tell you next? She tells you all the things that she bought because of the money she saved at Michael's. But hey, if you've ever had a house built, I don't know if you have. How many of you have ever had a house built? If you've had a house built like us, you know that you celebrate the small steps even in that. I mean, here they come. You have a wooded lot. They come and they clear all the trees out of there, man. And you are celebrating that step about how you're telling everybody you know about how you're destroying the environment. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. And then after they clear the lot out, you know, here comes the concrete truck, and they lay the foundation. And it's a concrete slab, but to you it's a miracle. You get out your camera and you're taking pictures of this concrete slab, and you're sharing it with everybody you know. And then, you know, after the concrete slab, man, then the block goes up. There's more progress that translates to more celebration. The drywall goes up, the insulation, the roof comes on. Progress, progress, progress. That translates into celebration, celebration, celebration. You're celebrating throughout all these small steps. And then finally, when the house is complete, huge celebration. Like I said, we celebrate all these physical things in our life. But how much more meaningful could our lives be if we celebrated the small steps in our spiritual life? How much more joy would that bring you? How much more peace would that bring you? How much more contentment would that bring you? How much more courage would that bring you? How much more faith would you have if you celebrated the spiritual small steps in your life? Maybe you're not in a small group during the week, and you might think, how's that going to help me? Man, that's going to help you a lot. That's a step of growth in your Christian walk. That's a step the devil doesn't want you to take, because he knows that if you take that step and you join a small group, you're going to be united with other believers in Jesus, that you're going to form godly friendships, that you are going to be prayed for, you're going to be ministered to, you're going to be able to minister to others. And you know what? You might just team up with other people in your group to impact and be a blessing to other people outside of our church, in the community. In a small group, you will learn how to live a victorious Christian life. The last thing that the devil wants you to do is join a life group. That's why the first thing you should do when you leave here today, if you're not in a small group, is grab one of the life group brochures out of the racks or in the lobby and get into a group this week. Baptism. We have a baptism class that's coming up next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, right straight through that door, first door on the left. We don't believe that baptism is essential or part of the plan of salvation. You don't need to be baptized to be saved. But if you are saved, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you've never been baptized, baptism is a great way for you to show others that you are saved, and you're not ashamed of it. Right, Tom? Man, baptism. Taking steps like that will help you in your Christian walk. And when you do those things, don't wait for somebody else to pat you on the back and celebrate your small steps, because you might be discouraged when you're growing in your Christian walk and nobody else notices because they haven't said anything to you. But the thing about it is this: we've got to remember that nobody but us and God knows where we were. They don't know how far we've come. So don't throw yourself a pity party. You throw yourself a spiritual celebration, and you remember that even if the only guests at your spiritual celebration are you and God, that is okay. Maybe you've already taken some of the steps that I've mentioned. Maybe you already read your Bible more than just on Sunday. Maybe you pray every day. Maybe you're already in a small group. Man, maybe you've already been baptized. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But can I remind you of one thing? Can I remind you that we have not arrived yet? We have not conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. We don't have it all figured out yet, and we still have room to grow and to change, every single one of us, including me. So my question for you is this: what is your next small step? Don't get stagnant in your Christian walk, because if you get stagnant, you won't be walking forward, but you'll be doing the opposite. You'll be walking backwards. Back in our passage in Nehemiah, as Ezra is standing on that pulpit or that platform of wood, as he's reading them the Bible, as we said, the people are encouraged. They're praising God. They're worshiping God. But then as they hear the words of the Bible read by Ezra, they start crying. Why are they crying? Because they were sorry. Why were they sorry? Because the Bible showed them how far that they had strayed away from God. The Bible showed them in what areas that they were disobedient to God. The Bible showed them how they had fallen short of God. And the Bible here shows us that the state is taken off the physical project, and it's now on the spiritual building project. And Nehemiah is telling them this. Nehemiah is saying, hey, don't focus on where you were, but focus on the progress that you have made. Realize that the mission is not accomplished, but steps are being taken in the right direction. Hey, I know that all of us are at different stages in our Christian walk, but I want to show you guys just an example here that maybe we can benefit from. And this example here involves our past, our present, and our future. And I know you see two or three guys here, but I want you to just imagine that you only see one guy at different stages of his life. And this guy has trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And since he's been saved, he's been taking spiritual steps of growth in his life. For instance, he's reading his Bible more than just on Sunday. That's a step. He's praying more than just on Sunday in church. That's a step. Man, he is starting to live for God in the way that he's treating others, in the way he's treating his family. That's a step. The way that he's treating his coworkers, that's a step. The way that he's treating his friends, that's a step. Even people that he doesn't even know, that's a step. His present looks pretty good. He has taken steps of growth in his Christian life. Praise the Lord. But he knows that there is still room to grow in his life spiritually. He knows that he needs to start giving financially to the work of the ministry. That's a step. He knows that he needs to start sharing his faith and telling others about Jesus, or at least inviting them to church. That's a step. Man, he knows that he needs to get involved in serving the Lord. He's not doing anything right now. He knows he needs to start serving the Lord at least once a month. That's a step. He knows that he needs to be more thankful to God. He needs to be more forgiving to others. That's a step. He knows that there are things in his life that he needs to get rid of. He knows there's things in his life that are hindering his spiritual growth and his obedience to God. That's a step. And sometimes what we do is this. We are in the present, and as we're in the present, we look towards the future, and we say to ourselves, we can't get there. And because of that, we have this fixation in our mind that I'm going to stay just where I'm at. I'm going to stay stagnant. because I can't get there. And we stay where we are spiritually for months, for years, for decades. But can I remind you of something? Can I remind you of something? We forget to look back at our past. We forget to look and see where we used to be. And if we look back at our past and we see how far God has already brought us, and we see God has already brought us from here to here, we realize that, hey, we don't have to be a spiritual failure. We don't have to stay where we're at spiritually. When we realize again and acknowledge that God has already brought us this far, that should encourage us to keep taking steps forward and get to where we need to be spiritually. Thank you, guys. Hey, let me tell you this. God has not failed you yet, and he's not going to start now. So don't give up in taking steps of growth in your life. In the Bible here, Nehemiah chapter number 8, they're celebrating the small steps. Look with me once again at chapter 8, verse number 10. The Bible says, "Then he said unto them," he says, "go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet tea." Just a sweet there. Some of you guys, that might become your new life verse. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. But I want you to notice the second half of this verse, what he tells them to do in the midst of this celebration. He says, "And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your" what? Strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Man, and I was reading this verse, and as I was reading this verse, I was thinking that we don't have to stop where we're at. We can continue to grow spiritually. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Celebrate those small steps in your life, realizing that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In your notes, it says this. It says, "Take the blessings you have received of the Lord and share them with others." Here in this passage, we see them saying that. They said, hey, yes, celebrate what God has done in your life, physically, spiritually, but why don't you take some of what you have and share it with someone who doesn't? Man, and if you minister to someone physically and their physical needs, that might just open up the door for you to minister to them spiritually and say, hey, why don't you take a step with me and come try out my church at Crossroads? How do you live the joyful life? The Bible says here, it's not all about receiving. It's not all about what you can get, but it's about what you can give. When those wise men came to see Jesus and the birth of the Savior, the Bible says they came to celebrate the birth of our Savior. But when they came to celebrate, how did they come to celebrate? They came and they brought gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The devil will try to discourage you as you leave this place from taking those small steps of growth in your life. The devil will try to discourage you from encouraging others in your life. But when the devil starts to discourage you and puts thoughts in your head like, hey, don't you remember your past and who you were? You do just like Ezra did, and you get on that pulpit of wood and you say, yeah, I remember who I was back then, but I know who I am today. And today I am in Christ. I have received the forgiveness of my sins, and I have received eternal life because I believe in Jesus. Trust in the fact that God is faithful. No, we're not where we want to be yet. But trust, just like those Israelites did, although you might be sorry for your sin, and you might be sorry that you've come up short, be confident that you can press forward through Jesus Christ. Celebrate the small steps in your life. This last image on the screen I'm going to show you is of a pole vault jumper. There's a difference between a pole vault jumper and a high jumper. A high jumper, usually jumps 8 feet up on his own. A pole vault jumper can jump 18 feet, 10 feet taller. How does the pole vault do it? The pole vault jumper does it by relying on something to propel him even higher than his own ability can. So when you start taking those spiritual steps in your life, it's not about forcing yourself to complete a task list or a to-do list or a set of rules, but it's you counting on someone to propel you forward in your Christian walk. And in your notes, there's a blank to fill in. It's about you relying on Pastor Rich. Pastor Rob. Pastor Dan. It's about you relying on. Hey, you might say, I'm not there yet. But thanks to him, we can say we can be. Because God is good. God is so good. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me at this time?